They tried to stop my show, but I said, hold up. Y'all know how many hoes done tried to hold this hoe up.
Talk to music.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Craig's Pop Life Podcast, a black gay excursion into pop culture with your host, me, Craig Seymour. Hey, everybody. So in this, I guess this season of the podcast, what I'm doing is revisiting some of my work from the earliest part of my career. Actually, there's been a little addendum to it because I'm actually throwing in writing that I'd completely forgotten about, like from my childhood and from my teenage years and everything like that. So it's a really interesting journey just to see how much I've changed, but really to see how much I have not changed at all. So the first thing I'm going to read for you is an excerpt from my high school yearbook. Except here's the thing. I didn't end up graduating from high school. I actually dropped out because I don't even know what the reason was. It was like I just was bored with school and I just wanted to get out there and do things. And I was going to clubs a lot and everything. And getting up in the morning was just not it. I was watching a lot of Young and the Restless and like having to tape things while I'm at school and then rewatch. None of it was just school was just not fitting my lifestyle, basically, my teenage lifestyle. And so, and of course, I'm sure there are a lot of underlying reasons to that too, which I'll get into. But apparently for the yearbook, we had to do our own pages and stuff. So I decided to conduct an interview with myself as if it was Interview Magazine and somebody was interviewing me, even though it was just me. So here we go. Student profile, Craig A. Seymour. It's interesting to me, like when I, to certain parts of my career that I use my full name, my middle name is Alan, and then my dad and I have the same name. So every now and then, early in my career, I would put like the second at the end of it, even though I'm not sure that's even the correct thing. Never junior. But anyway, so this is my student profile. Favorite song. Now I break it down. Music. Remember What You Like, Jenny Burton. My Love Is Alive, Chaka Khan. Lyrically. Undertow, Suzanne Vega. Marlena on the Wall, Suzanne Vega. No More Tears, Anita Baker. And Anything by Culture Club. I add, they all have a lot of personal significance. Well, you would think so, else why would you put it down there? But that's one thing I've learned. Editing. Editing goes a long way. Okay, one word to describe yourself. Multifaceted. Now imagine trying to use this big old word and you can't even get up to go to school on time. But anyway, that's the word to describe myself. Multifaceted. Favorite color, blue. Now here's the interview part. Interviewer, which of course was just me. What are your thoughts about the school? Me. What have you done for me lately? I feel like I have used the school for all that it's worth, and it's a holy bitch having to stay here when I have nothing left to get out of it. Interviewer. Me. What would you like to leave the school after you're gone? Me. Well, I do have certain advice for certain people at the school. You can only rule the world for so long until the world starts to rule you, and there is no possible way you can deal with it. I have no idea who I was shading there, but somebody was getting red for filth. Interviewer, me. That's rather pretentious, isn't it? Me. Maybe, but it's true. Interviewer. How do you feel about people saying that you analyze everyone? Me. That's a major misunderstanding. It's not that I get off on analyzing people's problems and insecurities. It's just that I like understanding people. If someone acts a certain way, I like to understand why they act that way. It's just the way I am. Some people like to understand how cars work. I like to understand people. Maybe many people are put off because of that, but that's just me. And it's something I can't and never will apologize for. I'm not here to feed your insecurities. interviewer, me. You mentioned misunderstanding. Do you think you're misunderstood in the school? Me. I'm probably the most misunderstood person in the entire school, but by choice, since there have only been certain people I've let know me. The table of my contents is not for everyone to read. So that was my big student profile in the yearbook, which I was never a part of. You know, I read that, and part of that's just my personality, as y'all could probably can tell from just anything. If you're listening to this podcast, then you probably know enough about me to know that a lot of that's just my personality. But, you know, also a lot of this has to do with being gay, like in the mid-80s. This is probably like 85, 86. And just not having any context for understanding what being gay, young and gay, was about and anything like that. I wasn't out to myself, but it wasn't like I was closeted to myself either. It just was something that I had not yet come to that a conclusion that I was gay. But yet at the same time, I did know that there was something about me that was different from other people. And I know that that thing often kept me from connecting with people. And there was always that kind of barrier. And also just the whole thing of like, as a young gay man, or a young gay person, or young queer person, you're just outside of that whole teenage romance, that whole, all of that stuff that's going on in high school. You're just not a part of that. So you do feel very left out, and you do feel very, or let me just talk for me. I felt very left out, and I felt very lonely because of that, and that really made me build up a very defensive exterior, you know, like, okay, well, if I can't be involved with all this teenage romance and stuff, then I don't even need to be involved in none of it. Just leave me out of it. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. I think, but wow, really, it's kind of interesting looking back and seeing how much I'm basically just the same person as I was then. So now we're going to move on to a review, but I'm going to try to, hey, this podcast has done changed since I was doing it last time, and just stuff is all different. Now you have to pause to put in an ad or something like that if they're going to do an ad. And so this is the ad break. This is the commercial break. Go on and get you some food or whatever. Go on and get you a drink or whatever, and we'll be back with what my, I think my, guess my second published music review. Last time we did the first one, so with the second one. So hold on, and I hope you hang out and enjoy. Use the break time wisely. Well, welcome back from the commercial break. Assuming that I figured out how to put commercials up in this MF. See, I'm getting better. I'm not cursing, right? And if not, hey, it's just a, it all is an experiment, child. I just don't, it is so hard to maintain competency of things in today's world, I find, because everything changes. Once you really get a program down or you know how to use something, then it just changes up, you know, or they change how you do things, or YouTube will let you monetize some things, then all of a sudden they won't let you monetize your entire channel that you've had, whatever. Again, when I say you, I'm talking about me. So things just be changing up in the internet streets, and I just try to keep up and just try to do the best I can. If it sounds funky, it sounds funky. We're just going to be funky. So, you know, because at the end of the day, what I know you get when you listen to me or you get my content, you get my soul. And you can't just, you know, that's not something you can just replicate or whatever. So AI, what you want. But if you want the soul, the real, hey, here I am. So, now this is the review of Aretha Franklin's A Rose Is Still a Rose album that I wrote in April 2nd, 1998. Oh, that's cool. We're getting kind of in the same, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I guess it's March, so next month is April, so we're getting within the same type of months as when I wrote the pieces. So here we go. Aretha Franklin, A Rose Is Still a Rose. I know that you're tired of hearing the same song. sings the legendary Aretha Franklin on her new CD, A Rose Is Still a Rose. And it's just one of the many sentiments that she nails on her latest effort. Yes, we are sick of hearing Aretha sing the same old songs, as if we really needed Respect 97 from the equally unnecessary Blues Brothers 2000. In recent years, the Queen of Soul has become the American cliche of a faded star, bloated, gaudily dressed, and seeming to live in an alternate universe where every bad career move seems like a good one. On Rose, however, Aretha is graciously rescued from this fate by R&B's new teen titans. Teen leader Puff Daddy, his sidekick Jermaine Dupri, the producer behind Usher's success, Dallas Austin, the brooding genius behind TLC and Madonna's Secret, and the Fugees' resident wonder girl, Lauryn Hill, who contributes the fiery feminist title cut. The results range from the inspired, In the Morning, I'll Dip, to Insipid, sometimes within the same song. The two verses on Love Pains contain some of the Queen's best singing ever, but the chorus is so bland that it's best sped through. As on her classic recordings, the highlight of Rose is simply hearing the Queen's once-in-a-lifetime voice. It's been decades since Aretha has sounded as heavenly, which is the much-publicized result of quitting smoking. Hearing her newly restored range should send nicotine queens like Chaka Khan scrambling for a patch. The youth-oriented Rose proves that, unlike some haggard Motown stars of yore, Aretha has an artistic vitality needed to stay relevant. As with her triumphant operatic performance from this year's Grammys, Aretha shows that it's better to try to attempt something different than to accept that your best days are behind you. This is a handy lesson for her boomers and her much sought after youth audience. Okay, so that's a handy lesson for her boomer audience and her much sought after youth audience. I like this. I'm kind of preaching. Hey, I really, really like this. I love this part. Aretha shows that it's better to try and attempt something different than to accept that your best days are behind you. Quite true. That's kind of why I'm kind of doing the podcast now, and why I'm revisiting these old writings, trying to not think that the best days are behind me, but to think of times when I tried my best in the past and it actually did work out, and hopefully that will continue into the future. And that's sort of the energy that I hope to give people that are listening to this too. It's like, we can't accept that our best days are behind us. We have to keep dreaming and keep realizing that, you know, we have to take the same chances that we've took in the past, and maybe these chances will work out with something in some kind of way that we can't even foresee right now. But the point is, you have to keep trying. You can't give up. So very, very, very topical, topical review. So, and yeah, and so if you're listening to the album, if you're going to go, maybe I should post some remixes from it. But I love my favorite songs on that album. Two of them are In the Morning and I'll Dip. So if you're listening to Aretha Franklin's A Rose Is Still a Rose album, and you know me, I don't really be liking albums tracks, so I always be on the remix. So, in this particular case, definitely check out In the Morning and I'll Dip from Aretha Franklin's A Rose Is Still a Rose. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, which I know is a little rough, but hey, sometimes people, you like it rough. Sometimes you need it rough, right? No, but I just really wanted to, I could have spent weeks trying to get everything technically perfect and everything, but I just really wanted to share these pieces with you and just kind of open up this dialogue that we can have with each other. So again, thank you very much for listening, and I'll check you next time. I love y'all. Bye.